लक्षितः स्वात्मना हरि दृश्यैर्बुद्ध्यादिभिर्द्रष्टा लक्षणैरनुमापकै भगवान् सर्वभूतेषु लक्षितः स्वात्मना हरिः दृश्यैर्बुद्ध्यादिभिर्द्रष्टा लक्षणैरनुमापकै भगवान् सर्वभूतेषु लक्षितः स्वात्मना हरिः दृश्यैर्बुद्ध्यादिभिर्द्रष्टा लक्षणैरनुमापकै लक्षिता सात्मना हरि भगवान् सर्वभूतेषु लक्षिता सात्मना हरि दृश्यैर्बुद्ध्यादिभिर्द्रष्टा लक्षणैरनुमापकै भगवान् सर्वभूतेषु लक्षिता स्वात्मना हरि दृश्यैर्बुद्ध्यादिभिर्द्रष्टा लक्षणैरनुमापकै माताजी ट्रांसलेशन word by word translation, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Sarva, all, Bhuteshu, in the living entities, Lakshitaha, is visible, Svaatmana, along with the self, Harihi, the Lord, Drishyai, by what is seen, Buddhi Adibhi, by intelligence, Drashta, one who sees, Lakshane, by different signs, Anumapakai, by hypothesis. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. The personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, is in every living being along with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. Purport. It's a long purport. The general argument of the common man is that since the Lord is not visible to our eyes, how can one either surrender unto Him or render transcendental service unto Him? To such a common man, here is a practical suggestion given by Srila Sukadev Goswami as to how one can perceive the Lord by reason and perception. Actually, the Lord is not perceivable by our present materialized senses. But when one is convinced of the presence of the Lord by a practical service attitude, there is a revelation by the Lord's mercy. And such a pure devotee of the Lord can perceive the Lord's presence always and everywhere. He can perceive that intelligence is the form direction of the Paramatma plenary portion of the personality of Godhead. The presence of Paramatma in everyone's company is not very difficult to realize, even for the common man. The procedure is as follows. One can perceive one's self-identification and feel positively that he exists. He may not feel it very abruptly, but using a little intelligence, he can feel that he is not the body. He can feel that the hand, the leg, the head, the hair, and the limbs are all his bodily parts and parcels. But as such, the hand, the leg, the head, etc. cannot be identified with his self. Therefore, just by using intelligence, he can distinguish and separate his self from other things that he sees. So the natural conclusion is that the living being, either man or beast, is the seer and he sees besides himself all other things. So there's a difference between the seer and the seen. Now, by a little use of intelligence, we can also readily agree that the living being who sees the things beyond himself by ordinary vision has no power to see or to move independently. All our ordinary actions and perceptions depend on various forms of energy supplied to us by nature in various combinations. Our senses of perception and of action, that is to say, our five perceptive senses, hearing, touch, sight, taste and smell, as well as our five senses of action, namely hands, legs, speech, evacuation organs and reproduction organs, and also our three subtle senses, namely mind, intelligence and ego, 13 senses in all, are supplied to us by various arrangements of gross or subtle forms of natural energy. And it is equally evident that our objects of perception are nothing but the products of the inexhaustible permutations and combinations of the forms taken by natural energy. As this conclusively proves that the ordinary living being has no independent power of perception or of motion, and as we undoubtedly feel our existence being conditioned by nature's energy, we conclude that he who sees is spirit. And that the senses as nature's energy. We conclude that he who sees is spirit, and that the senses as well as the objects of perception are material. The spiritual quality of the seer is manifest in our dissatisfaction with the limited state of materially conditioned existence. That is the difference between spirit and matter. There are some less intelligent arguments that matter develops the power of seeing and moving as a certain organic development. But such an argument cannot be accepted because there is no experimental evidence that matter has anywhere produced a living entity. Trust no future, however pleasant. Idle talks regarding future development of matter into spirit are actually foolish because no matter has ever developed the power of seeing or moving in any part of the world. Therefore, it is definite that matter and spirit are two different identities, and this conclusion is arrived at by the use of intelligence. Now, we come to the point that the things which are seen by a little use of intelligence cannot be animate unless we accept someone as the user or director of the intelligence. Intelligence gives one direction like some higher authority. And the living being cannot see or move or eat or do anything without the use of intelligence. When one fails to take advantage of intelligence, he becomes a deranged man. And so a living being is dependent on intelligence or the direction of a superior being. Such intelligence is all-pervading. Every living being has his intelligence, and this intelligence, being the direction of some higher authority, is just like a father giving directions to his son. The higher authority who is present and residing within every individual living being is the super self. At this point in our investigation, so it's an investigation going on, going deeper. At this point in our investigation, we may consider the following question. On the one hand, we realize that all our perceptions and activities are conditioned by arrangements of material nature. Yet, we also ordinarily feel and say, I am perceiving or I am doing. Therefore, we can say that our material senses of perception and action are moving because we are identifying the self with the material body. And that the superior principle of super self is guiding and supplying us according to our desire. By taking advantage of the guidance of super self in the form of intelligence, we can either continue to study and put into practice our conclusion that I am not this body, or we can choose to remain in the false material identification, fancying ourselves to be the possessors and doers. Our freedom consists in orienting our desire towards the ignorant material misconception or the true spiritual conception. We can easily attain to the true spiritual conception by recognizing the super self, Paramatma, to be our friend and guide, and by dovetailing our intelligence with the superior intelligence of Paramatma. The super self and the individual self are both spirit. And therefore the super self and the individual self are both qualitatively one and distinct from matter. But the super self and the individual self cannot be on an equal level, because the super self gives direction or supplies intelligence, and the individual self follows the direction, and thus actions are performed properly. The individual is completely dependent on the direction of the super self, because in every step the individual self follows the direction of the super self in the matter of seeing, hearing, thinking, feeling, willing, etc. So as far as common sense is concerned, we come to the conclusion that there are three identities, namely matter, spirit, and the super spirit. Now, if we go to the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedic intelligence, we can further understand that all three identities, namely matter, individual spirit, and the super spirit, are all dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The super self is a partial representation or plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavad Gita affirms that the Supreme Personality of Godhead dominates over all the material world by its partial representation only. God is great, and He cannot be simply an order supplier of the individual self. Therefore, the super soul or super self cannot be a full representation of the Supreme Self, Purushottama, the Absolute Personality of Godhead. Realization of the super self by the individual self is the beginning of self-realization. And by the progress of such self-realization, one is able to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by intelligence, by the help of authorized scriptures, and principally by the grace of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary conception of the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the further explanation of the science of Godhead. So, if we stick to our determination and pray for the mercy of the director of intelligence sitting within the same bodily tree, like a bird sitting with another bird, as explained in the Upanishads, certainly the purport of the revealed information in the Vedas becomes clear to our vision. And there is no difficulty in realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. The intelligent man, therefore, after many births of such use of intelligence, surrenders himself at the lotus feet of Vasudev, as confirmed by the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, is in every living being along with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of seeing and taking help from the intelligence. Hare Krishna. So first, I would like to take the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. Our senior worshipable devotees, we have His Holiness Chandramouli Swami Maharaj in the temple, Naveen Neerad Prabhu, senior brahmacharis, and my father. I take blessings of everybody and all the devotees who are listening online as well before I speak on this topic. So this verse in this chapter entitled The Lord in the Heart, actually Sukhdev Goswami, he is covering the meditation of the yogi on the super soul. Previous chapter spoke about, the journey of a person who is worshipping the universal form, a yogi who is worshipping the universal form. Here he speaks about the yogi who is meditating on the super soul and what is his or her journey for perfection. So after stating this, Sukhdev Goswami says, given both the processes in great amount of detail. And then after completing this, he says, one or two verses before, that for those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the devotional service of Lord Krishna. And this is also the verdict of Lord Brahma, after studying the Vedas thrice. So, Vedas, Brahma has studied thrice and he has also come to the same conclusion that bhakti is the best means, the bhakti to the Supreme Lord Krishna. Can this be moved? Yeah. So then the question may arise that how to see the Lord. If we are saying that bhakti or prema is the ultimate goal and ultimate means of attaining the Supreme Lord, then how to see the Lord, who is the object of one's prema? So this is today's verse. So in this verse, actually, Sukhdev Goswami, he gives a hint of how one can understand the Lord by reason and by perception. So it's a very interesting and very long purport that Srila Prabhupada has given, where he's given very great, systematically he's given a process of how one can, if for those of you who are paying attention, it's actually like a step-by-step process of how one can realize that I am not this body and that there is a super soul residing within my body who is guiding me. Step by step. So if we read this, of course a long purport, but if we read this purport and meditate on it, we can understand actually that there is the Supreme Lord exists in our heart along with the soul. So right at the start, Srila Prabhupada makes this statement that when one engages in bhakti with faith, with conviction, right? While he gives a long process of understanding the soul and the super soul, but that is not meant for this audience. That is meant for everybody else. We can also use it. But for us, he says, when one engages in bhakti with faith, we don't engage in the process of bhakti with full knowledge. We don't have full understanding of who is Krishna, is he really God, who am I, should I really surrender to him or should I surrender to somebody else. There's a lot of confusion in our mind. We don't know. But with faith, because the devotees are wonderful people, we just accept their instructions and we follow. If we do that, Prabhupada is saying, there is a revelation by the Lord's mercy. When it will happen, we don't know. It may happen as soon as you are going down now. It may happen at that time. It may happen right now. It may happen after many lifetimes. We don't know when it is going to happen. But this much is sure, there will be a revelation by the Lord's mercy. And Prabhupada says, such a person, such a pure devotee who is to whom the Lord reveals himself. See, it's very interesting, the words used by Srila Prabhupada. He doesn't say that the Lord will, you know, appear. He says he will reveal. Reveal meaning what? What is the meaning of reveal? Anyone? What does reveal mean? Huh? Make himself known. Reveal. To show the real form. We say we reveal a secret. What does reveal the secret mean? Something which is already there. Ho chuka hai, hai. It is reality. But it's not known to us. We don't know. The Lord reveals himself. That means he's there all around us right now. He's standing in front of us as Radha Gopinath. He's residing in our heart as super soul. He's present as omnipresent Brahman. He's there everywhere. But we can't see. Because we don't have the eyes, we don't have the faith, we don't have the qualification to see the Lord. But when the Lord decides, if we simply follow the process of bhakti with faith, one point he reveals himself. And reveals the revelation of the Lord's mercy such that a pure devotee can now see the Lord always and everywhere. Right now, we are never able to see the Lord and nowhere we can see him. That's our unfortunate situation. But when the Lord reveals, you will see him everywhere, wherever. So the devotee, whichever direction he looks, he can only see Krishna. He can't see anything else. He sees this book, he sees Krishna. He sees this glass, he sees Krishna. You know, I was today during breakfast, I was actually talking to our Anand Gopal Prabhu. So he has now started one WhatsApp group in which, you know, taking different verses from the Bhagavad Gita. You know, many of you can join. It's a very interesting concept. Taking different verses from the Bhagavad Gita, in everyday life, how we can remember Krishna. In everyday life. So when we drink water, you know, when we drink water, every time we drink water, we remember, rasoham apsu kaunteya, I am the taste in water. Every time we, we lie down, you know, then we say that Krishna says that everything rests on me. So, you know, simple day-to-day activities, if we are conscious, we become Krishna conscious. So very nice, you know, such simple things. So then, in everything you can see Krishna. So a pure devotee can actually, for him, you know, for us, we struggle to see Krishna. We don't even want to see Krishna. But for a pure devotee, he cannot see, cannot but see Krishna in everything and everywhere. It's described, no, Vidya Vinay Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Sunicheva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. So, one who is having that realization, once having seen the super soul within the heart, that person sees super soul everywhere. He sees it in an elephant. He sees it in a dog. He sees it in a brahmana. He sees it in a shudra. He sees it in everything. Everywhere he goes, he sees only Krishna. You know, it's like I give this example that, and we can experience this in day-to-day life again. You know, how things we don't see, pashyan api na pashyati. But once we see, then we see everywhere. You know, like I remember once, I was looking up. I was preparing a lecture, sitting near my window. And I just looked out. I looked out of the building and I saw cable TV wires going from one building to another. I saw it's going from my building to another building, my building to another building, another building to another building, another building. And then suddenly I saw that, my God, so many wires, such an ugly sight. Then after that, whenever I look up, I see cable TV wires. Earlier, I never noticed them. I never really thought about it. But ek bar cable TV wire dik gaya, uske baad to sab jagah cable TV wire hi dikhta hai. You know, it's like that. So this is the experience of a pure devotee. Once he sees Krishna in his heart or in her heart, and then they see Krishna in someone else's heart, and then they see Krishna everywhere, like that. So Prabhupada is saying, and Sukhdev Goswami in this very interesting verse, he's saying that for the common man, perceiving the soul and the super soul, the Supreme Lord as Paramatma, is possible. How? By Anuman. So very interesting. Normally, our Shastra doesn't talk about Anuman. It talks about Shabda Praman. Shabda Praman means what? What is stated in the scripture, Shabda, we just accept. We don't argue. We don't think too much. We try to understand, we accept. But here he is referring to Anuma Pakai, Anuman Praman. Okay, so let us try to understand. So I am going to quote a lot from one of the lectures I heard of Balram Shakti Prabhu. Very nicely he has explained Anuman Praman and, Shabda Praman. That where we need where we can manage with Anuman Praman, its pros and cons, and where we need Shabda Praman. Nicely he has explained, so I'll just speak from that. So, first of all, learning from Anuman Praman, it is like understanding something by seeing the shadow. So, if we see the shadow of somebody, we can't see much, we can't derive much understanding about that person by seeing the shadow. But we can see from the shadow, this looks like a man, this is a man. We can make out this is a tall man. We can make out this person probably has a very long and sharp nose, right? So few things, few features we can understand by looking at the shadow of the person. But we can't tell what is their skin color. We can't tell how is their voice. What is the color of their eyes? What is the color of their hair? We can't make out these things from the shadow. But some picture we can get, even from the shadow. Some idea we can get. So, as Prabhupada says in this verse, the process he has explained, so there are two levels of identification of the soul. One is in our own body. How to identify that we are not this body, we are the soul. I am venturing into this with no realization, but I will just try to repeat what I have heard or what we have read just now. So, one is at our own level and second is seeing in others. Okay, so it's very fascinating the way Prabhupada has presented, Acharyas have presented. So he says, by seeing our hand, we say my hand, by seeing my leg, by seeing my the tip of my nose, by seeing my face in the mirror, by seeing these things, by seeing limb by limb different parts of my body which I can see, I can realize that these are mine. But they are not me. Why they are not me? I may say, I have such long, beautiful, slender fingers. Look at my nails. They are so nicely shaped. You know, I may say these things. But if I have an accident and I lose my hand, I am still there. Hand is gone, but I am there. People lose a leg, still they are there. People lose a ear, people lose an arm, whatever. But they are still there, right? So, with little discrimination, we can understand that these are things, but they are not me. So, therefore, Prabhupada says at the first level, we can distinguish the difference between the seer, the one who is seeing. I am seeing these things. I am hearing these things, but I am not these things. Very basic, but important for us to understand. The difference between who is seeing these things and who is the seen? I may see another person, but I am not that person. I may see this book, I may see this laptop, but I am not these things. I may see my hand, but I am not this hand. Right? So at a first level, self-identification is just understanding ki main ye sharir nahi hu. Main ye, I am not this family, I am not this, I am not Indian, I am not this, I am not any of these things. While I identify with them because I have a bodily identification, they are not me. I am somebody else. I am unique. So Prabhupada says, By using our intelligence, we can also see at a different level. We can see that while I can see, I have no power to see on my own independently. I have no power to hear independently. I have no power to move independently. Everything depends on forces of nature. If there is no light, I can't see. When you are in darkness, can you see anything? We try to adjust our eyes a little bit, blink our eyes and everything. But can we see? We can't see. So we are dependent. That means, you know, while you may feel that I have the power, but there are other powers that are facilitating your seeing. They're saying, I may hear, but hearing depends on sound waves. Those sound waves are transmitted through the air going from my mic, what I'm speaking to the mic, through this to the speaker, from the speaker to your ear ka speaker. It is going inside, getting translated into sound. Your brain is interpreting it and either rejecting it or accepting it. All this happening in seconds. Why? Because sound waves are moving through the... Someone has created this, right? And it's if it's not there, imagine if sound was like gravity. You know? Like gravity. That you speak and thup, the word just falls down there. So only if someone is below you, they can hear. Otherwise, they can't hear anything. Imagine. Right? Such brilliant design is there in our universe. And we are dependent on that design. We can't do anything. If we have to move, if I have to move, I have to walk on the floor. Because the floor has a certain friction, therefore I can move. Otherwise, my leg will just keep slipping. You know, I'll put a foot forward. Next foot I lift, again this one will come back. Because my feet have been designed in such a way with some rough nature. Therefore, when I put a foot on the floor, it holds a little bit. When a lizard is climbing up the wall, because it has that suction in its feet, therefore it is able to climb. So for everything, we are depending on forces of nature. We are not independent, right? So Prabhupada says, use your intelligence. Also, if we see all the senses which we have, first the perceptive senses, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the skin, who has provided this? We are born with it. Humne kuch mehnat nahi kiya iske liye. It just came to us in our body when we are born. And some people who don't have it, they realize the value. Those who don't have sense of taste, when we have a cold, like now I have a cold, the sense of taste is missing. Then you get COVID, taste went for weeks, months, right? Then you understand what is taste. It's such an important thing. Lord has given it to us. This is given to us. Similarly, the working senses, hands, legs, genitals, speech, evacuation organs, given to us by nature. Similarly, so this is self-identification. By just looking at ourselves, our body, our mind, our intelligence, our senses, we realize that they are not me, and these things have been provided to me by nature. That means there is a higher superior force beyond me. Right? Then, if we see external identification means what? The jiva can be seen to exist in others, in us also, but in others, by seeing the intelligence, by seeing the mind, by seeing the body in action. So, if we see a person doing something, speaking something, moving his or her hands, listening, smelling, doing whatever, right? By that action, by that animated action, we can infer. Now, here comes the anuman. Because there is animation, there must be an animating force, right? So, Prabhupada gives the example that when someone, a lot of people say that, you know, oh, soul doesn't exist. Then Prabhupada says that when someone dies, why do we say, oh, wo to chale gaye? Wo hamare paas, he has left us. He has gone. Where he has gone? He's there only. Where he has gone? So when we look at that situation when someone dies, a minute back they were alive. They were breathing. They were, you know, their eyes were flickering, their tongue was coming out because of thirst or whatever. Minute back they were alive and then suddenly gone. And the moment they are gone, what happens? The body starts decaying, right? It's instantaneous. See the design of nature, it's instantaneous. So this proves that that body is not us. That animating force is not the body. Animating force is someone who is residing in that body. So this proves that the lack of animation of either the gross, if the person is moving, speaking, that is animation, or if the mind is working, intelligence is working, that is proof for us that the soul exists. But the moment they stop working, it is proof that the soul has left. When the soul is there, we can see eyes, hands, legs moving, everything moving. When they're not there, it's gone. Then, existence of the subtle body, okay, we can see the existence of the gross body in other people by animation, by movement. Similarly, existence of the subtle body, how do we understand? Through intelligence, through the mind, right? So, if you see how someone is extremely intelligent, how they use their intelligence to scheme or to speak, to do some work, you know, we can see that, okay, they have intelligence, they are alive, there's something beyond them that is, you know, making them happen, do these things. So Prabhupada says this intelligence also is a superior force which is coming from the super soul. So like that, the presence of the soul can be understood by system, by the symptoms of the body, and the functioning of the subtle body also tells us that there is a subtle body. But Anuman Praman, this inference has its limitations. It has its shortcomings. It is not Shabda Praman. So you can at best say, because there is some movement in the body, there must be some animating force. Kuch to hoga. We have not seen it. We cannot directly experience it with our senses. You know, when the soul leaves, even if you are covering someone's body completely, when the soul leaves, it's not that wo soul apne ko aisa hila ke jayega. Nahin. It just leaves. It's subtle. It's very, very subtle. We can't even see it, right? So, through Anuman, you can just assume that there must be, because this is there, therefore this is there. You know, we can infer. But what is the name of that animating force? We call it soul or atma, that we don't know. What is the size of that soul? We don't know. What is the nature of this soul? Is it material? Is it spiritual? We don't know. Where does the soul reside in the body? Kahan hai? Right? We don't know. Then similarly, on what basis, at what point in time the soul will leave the body? We don't know. So all of these details we cannot understand by Anuman Praman. So how do we understand? For these things which are, you know, specific details about the soul, we need Shabda Praman. Anuman Praman cannot give us these details. It can just give us some speculative understanding ki haan ye hai to matlab vyakti jinda hai, matlab soul is there in the body, some animating force is there, but what is this force, what are its characteristics, we can't understand. Similarly, if you look at the super soul, right, Prabhupada says that by looking at the intelligence of a person, looking at our own intelligence, we can realize that there is a higher force that is directing this intelligence. It's not me, it's a higher force. So, how do we understand that there is a higher force, there is a superior, supreme Lord? How do we understand? Because there is superior intelligence all around us. You know, if we look around us, we will see that there are so many amazing things around us, which are not man-made. We never made them. We never designed these things. But if you look around, you can see amazing, clear manifestation of order, design. You know, everything is perfectly designed in this material world. Nothing is just happening by chance. If you just look around, we can see. We just discussed the process of seeing, process of hearing, how we eat, you know. After we eat, if you had a heavy meal and you come here and you do, you know, vancha kalpataru vesha, when you do obeisances, why doesn't your food all come out? Like it went in from that food pipe. When you pay obeisances, the food doesn't just come out. Such a simple thing. But if we look, we can see that there is some superior design that has gone into even our own body. You know, to believe in God, you don't even need to look beyond your own body. Your own body is like a miracle of the Supreme Lord's design. So, sometimes, you know, like we strain our intelligence. Suppose you are trying to solve a problem, you know, mathematics problem or some chemistry problem or some physics problem or some economics problem, management problem. You're struggling, you're working in your job, you're doing your business. You're struggling to think, kya kare iska, kya kare, kya kare? Suddenly, ting, you know, like that they show in that cartoons, like a tube light comes, you know. That light suddenly comes and suddenly you get the answer. Where is it coming from? Because your intelligence you have used, you have tried, and you have not got the answer. And then you strain, you really put an effort to go deep, and the answer manifests. Answer magically arrives. This is the super soul. So you may call this this superior force which provides the answers, which has designed this material world so that everything works perfectly with each other. Everything is perfect. You see, even the ratio of man and woman in this world is 50%. Yes, because of all the wonderful things that human beings have done, the ratio has gone slightly more towards men and less of women. But nature is perfect. Nature is perfect. Everything is designed perfectly. So, when we see this, we say, who is the one who has designed all this? Who is the one who has created? Who is maintaining all this? Ye sab kaun maintain kar raha hai? Who is maintaining the ant? Who is maintaining the elephant in the forest which needs to eat 100 kg per meal? One meal it eats 100 kg. Who is maintaining? Despite the forest being cut day in and day out, elephants are still alive. The rhino is alive. Right? Big animals are still alive. Who is maintaining? Lord is maintaining. So, we may call that person Antaryami, Super Soul, God, Nature. But at least we can infer. Again, we are still in inference, right? We are coming back to inference. To infer the Supreme Lord by looking at the natural phenomena around us, looking at the way our own body works, we can infer some superior intelligence is there who is controlling everything. Sometimes when we see, like, you know, when you are faced with a difficult choice, suppose, okay? Simple choices, quickly we are able to decide, you know. When you are faced with a difficult choice, should I do this or should I do that? Thoda sa compromise karne se na mera ye kaam ban jayega. Should I do this? Should I not? And suddenly we hear a clear voice from inside. It's not speaking to us, but there is a voice that tells us, don't do. And we sometimes choose to ignore that voice. Sometimes we choose to listen. What is that voice that guides us from within? That is the voice of the super soul. Sometimes we see that there is the instinct to do the right thing, even though there is no training given. Like a child, a baby, okay, which is just maybe like that baby over there, right? That baby is probably hardly few months old, 6 months, 8 months, whatever. But if he hears a loud sound, immediately they run away from that loud sound. This is instinct. Who gives that instinct? That is a super soul. Like last time we were discussing that even when a deer is born, you know, a deer is born, it immediately stands on its legs. When a giraffe is born, immediately it stands on its legs. We don't have that ability because we have our shelters, we have our homes where we protect ourselves. But not so for the deer. The deer immediately is in danger of being eaten. So the moment it comes alive, immediately it knows it has to run. Moment it hears wo dahad sunta hai, it's not like wo school jaake usko koi sikha raha hai ki dahad suna to bhago. No, it just knows it has to run. So this instinct to do the right thing, even when not trained, infer. This is the Paramatma within. Then, sometimes if two jivas do the same thing, same activity, okay, like I remember when I had joined one particular company, and I was in sales, you know, and I was working very hard, bahut mehnat kar raha tha. And mere baju wala bhi waise hi same mehnat kar raha, wo bhi utna. In fact, he was probably working less than me. But he was very successful. And mera ek bhi deal close nahi ho raha. Not a single deal. I was working day in and day out, running after customers. Sabke charan pakad pakad ke, sir, achha kaam kiya hai, abhi business do. You know, nobody, no business, nothing. Very, you know, infer that there is a superior force at action here that who is giving different results to two people who are doing the exact same thing. Both are doing the same thing, but getting different results. So endeavor in and of itself doesn't bestow success. Just because you worked hard, you know, I chanted Hare Krishna mantra every day, very nicely I was chanting. Two people may chant equally nicely, but the result may be different. So that tells us that beyond our endeavor, there is another force. In material activity, definitely there is another force. Who is that? Material nature. Through karma, material nature decides. So, you know, like it's like I have a desire that, you know, I want to become very rich. Okay? And I work very hard to become rich. Everyone wants to become rich. Everyone works hard to become rich. So I express my desire. I want to become rich. I'll work hard. Material nature is watching the fun. You know, bahut mehnat kar raha hai bechara. She asks super soul, kya hai, dena hai success? Super soul says, wait, ruko. Ye abhi, he doesn't have any karma ka balance nahi hai, bank balance nahi hai, to fir ye market mein jaake koi cheez khareed nahi sakta hai. Wait, let him incur more bank balance by doing lot of tapasya in his or her job. Then you can give him success, otherwise no. So two people doing exact same activity, different results. Even in spiritual life we say, na, now we are coming, Kartik Mahina is coming very soon. Damodar Leela. One finger is our effort, other finger is the mercy of the Lord. So even in spiritual life there is no getting away from the higher forces. So by Anuman we can understand that the Jiva is not independent. There is a higher force that is orchestrating everything, organizing everything, instructing us when faced with difficult choices, giving us the instinct to do the right thing even though not trained, but still may not give us results when we do the right thing. That is what it is. So there is a higher force, your results are also controlled. So that way we can understand there are some lakshanas, there are some symptoms by which we can understand that there is a spirit soul. By some symptoms we can understand that there is a superior power that is controlling the entire material world and the jivas also. We can understand by inference. But who is that person? How does he look? Is he a person or is he some unembodied living entity? Is he some force, you know, ek shakti hai, you know, like a lot of people say, Bhagwan kaun hai? He koi shakti hai. But kaisa hai wo shakti? What does he look like? What are his features? What is his bodily color? What is his complexion? How does his hair look like? Like, you know, in the previous part of the chapter, full detailed description of the Paramatma is given. Exactly how he looks. Full description is given. All these things, his features, his qualities, is he merciful or is he angry with thunderbolt in his hand? How is he? We don't know. To understand these things again, for these details again we need Shabda Praman. So, by Anuman Praman, as it is explained by Sukhdev Goswami in this verse, we can infer that the soul exists. We can infer that there is a superior power, superior force that exists, that is controlling everything. We can understand by inference. However, that inference will not give us details of the soul, will not give us details of the super soul. To get those details, we need to refer to the Shastra. By Shabda Praman we can get. However, as far as the devotees are concerned, now we come to finally all of us. Right? Like what Srila Prabhupada said. For the devotees, we don't need to struggle. It must be like this. It probably is like this. Soul is like this. Super soul is like this. Krishna is like this. No struggle. We don't need to apply our intelligence to infer anything. Koi cheez ka anuman bhi nahi lagana hai. We can just use our intelligence to understand, accept and finally apply the words as given by Shabda Praman in our scriptures. Hame aur koi mehnat nahi karni hai. Ye aisa hai kya? Oh, Krishna did like this. What could be the reason why he did like this? We don't need to do. Because our acharyas have done everything for us. Spoon feeding, complete. You know, we are so fortunate to be in this parampara where acharyas have completely spoon fed us. Nana shastra vichara neka nipuno sad dharma samsthapako. Our acharya Shad Goswami, they have done all the research. Sari mehnat unhene kar liye. Hame koi mehnat karni jarurat nahi. Just listen, accept, understand, apply. If we can do that, we will both become self-realized, we will become God-realized. No need for anything else. And as given by our Shastras, as given by our Acharyas, if we simply take shelter of the process of chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This transcendental sound vibration has the ability to give us an understanding of the entire world around us, to give us an understanding of our body, of our soul, of our Supreme Lord, of our nature, what is our nature in relation to that Supreme Lord, what is our relationship with that Supreme Lord, how I can serve Him, what is pleasing Him, what is not pleasing Him, are the Vaishnavas pleased by my service, are they not pleased? Everything is revealed. Revealed. By the grace of Guru, by the grace of Shastra, by the grace of Vaishnavas, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, for the devotees, everything is revealed. Koi mehnat karne ki jarurat nahi hai. Only effort we have to put is chant Hare Krishna, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, worship the deities. Whatever we do, you know, yat karoshi, yat ashnasi, yat jyosi, dadasi, yat tapasisi kaunteya, tat kurushva, madarpanam. Whatever we do, whatever we accept, whatever charity, whatever we may do, do it as an offering to Krishna. That's all we need to do. That way our lives, self-realization will manifest, God-realization will manifest, that point will come like we said at the start, like what Prabhupada said at the start, that no matter where you look, you will only see Krishna. Till that time, we just humbly take shelter of the process and make our lives, you know, spiritualized. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari. Thank you.